discussing theological truths for biblical living, reviewing featured coffee roast and premium brewing techniques. This is the Caffeinated Theology Podcast, bringing you biblical truths over a fine cup of coffee.
Thank you for tuning in to Caffeinated Theology Season number 2. We're in episode 10. This will be the last episode before we take a little bit of a break, and we'll come back to season 3 with a surprise guest. Dr. Danny Akin from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary will be with us on our season 3, episode 1 podcast, sharing just a little bit of his heart for missions and theology. And we are trying to think of some questions to ask Dr. Akin. We know he's a busy man, and we just want to make sure that we value his time and ask him the question or questions that are very pointed and pertinent to what we're doing here at the podcast, which is giving practical theology for the church. Now, speaking of that, we have been using throughout this season, really season 1 as well, a theology for the church, which I happen to have right here. And this is edited by Dr. Akin, and it's got many different contributors to this work. And in fact, this is one of the primary books that we used in seminary, and it's been a real treasure to be able to use that. And so Theology for the Church, and this is put out by B&H Academic. And so check that out if you're interested in diving into systematic theology. So like I said, we're going to do a little bit of a recap over season 1, when we began this particular season, season 2. We started with the person and work of Christ, and that was the first episode that we recorded. And let's talk a little bit about where we have been so far.
Yeah, the first episode of the season, we started off with just a general talk about the person and work of Christ. And the second half of that episode, we focused in on different heresies.
Yeah, that was
different views about that people have of Christ that are just off. I think we talked about some heterodoxical views, which were how do you explain it? How do you say that? Wrong teaching, maybe.
Yeah. Wrong teaching, but not damnable.
Yeah, not
so
damnable.
So heresy would be things that are.
And then we talked about heretical views, which were just, if you hold to these views, you don't understand the work of Christ to the point of redemption and salvation. And as you say, it's damnable. Theology that would be really not hard to argue that people who hold to that would be lost. The point of that was we used the illustration of the person who investigates counterfeit money and to introduce what we wanted to do with this season. And the best way to figure out or find out if a bill is counterfeit is by studying the original authentic thing. And we kind of used talking about heresies as kind of a kicking off point of what we wanted to do with this season of focusing in on who Jesus is, his humanity, his divinity, his work on the cross, and all of that for the purpose of being able to recognize heresies or heretical teachings in the church, to be able to recognize that and flee from it, or even to be able to speak in a loving way against it and to correct wrong teaching.
Yeah, some of the heresies we discussed was Jehovah's Witness, which we had a episode on world religions and cults on Jehovah's Witness, but the heresy of Arianism, kind of it stems from that thought that Jesus was is not eternal. In fact, I think it was Arius that said there was a time when Jesus was not. That's the same thing that the Jehovah's Witness believe in.
Yeah, I think we mentioned several times Arius being the legend of Arius being smacked by Santa Claus, by Saint Nicholas. Kind of comical, but we covered a lot of those heretical teachings over the centuries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the next episode, season two, was the I Am statements. So we looked at Exodus 3, the burning bush, where Jesus said, I am that I am, speaking to his self-existence. And the best way I've tried to explain that terminology, the I am, is improper English, in the way where the Lord said, I is. So he just is, self-existing. And I know we don't go around talking like that, but to help us kind of understand, the Lord always has been. And then we move into the Gospel of John, the I am statements. I am the bread of life, the light of the world, and I am the door, the good shepherd. And we kind of broke those down. And
I think, too, you know, understanding what Jesus is claiming with those I am statements, and particularly what John lays out there in John chapter 1, you know, in the beginning was the Word was God, Word was with God, nothing was made without him. You know, John's laying out that Jesus is, the eternal God, that he's always been. And you know, you talked about the second half of this season. We hit on a few world religions, and knowing this truth of the I am helps to really to see the heresies in teachings like Mormonism, which would say that as we are, Jesus once was. This idea that Jesus was just a man who obtained godhood. And when you understand these theological truths of what the scriptures teach of Jesus claiming to be I am, John laying out Jesus has always existed, the unmade maker, if you will, all of that stuff, it helps you when you encounter these teachings in the world to be able to immediately recognize, this is a falsehood.
Right, and we also referenced probably one of our favorite Christian groups, Theocracy, that has a song called I Am. In fact, one Sunday morning, I used that song as a premise of a sermon. And this is what we would consider to be a progressive metal group that has very... very good vocals, clean vocals. And I used that one Sunday morning and just kind of walked through that song, correlating with scripture, of course. And that was very interesting, because while I'm going through it, I'm thinking through the melodies and all that. And
yeah,
that was interesting.
Yeah, I think that was the week that I kind of sat in the and read a little bit of lyric, and you would.
Mm-hmm.
You were going through Exodus.
Yeah, we were going through Exodus.
We were at the I Am chapter.
Yeah. So we kind of interwove those lyrics together. Theocracy, I Am, it is on the album As the World Bleeds. And so, Jason, why don't you put a link down on that
so we
can check it out.
Absolutely. That's, in my opinion, that's their best album. All of their albums are good, but that one is excellent.
Yeah, the lyrics are, I mean, we're not Pentecostal, but some of them lyrics have us borderline Pentecostal.
Now, another great song on a different album is Mirror of Souls, which is a really good symbolic story of the gospel. I always tell people, the first time you listen to that song, print out or look up the lyrics and read the lyrics along with it. You know, being a metal song or being a metal band, sometimes you can miss a few lyrics. I would say, you know, they're really good as far as being able to catch mm-hmm. and understand their lyrics mm-hmm. as compared to most metal yeah. groups. But it's easy to miss a few, and especially with Mirror of Souls, because there's a lot of one line and then a voice repeats mm-hmm. or says another line on top of it, and being yeah. able to read it all and see yeah. what is going on right. in the song is great. And it's a story of the gospel. It's mm-hmm. really good.
And there's little pieces of stuff in the background.
Yeah.
Like there's a part where, well, anyway, the guy's looking in, he's seeing in the mirror, he sees himself, and he says, there's no way that this can be me. And then in the background, you hear this, no! You know, you hear him like he's screaming out, no. Anyway, there's little things like that that are in it. It's pretty neat. That song is 22 minutes long, and so...
Yeah, you need a little time.
You need some time.
A little time to sit down yeah. and listen to it. It is a great song. That's a great band.
That's their magnum opus. That's considered to be their, you know, masterpiece. And they did that live, too.
Yeah, we got to see that live, which was a great surprise. They don't mm-hmm. do it live. They don't play live much. And when they play, they don't mm-hmm. do that song much because it's so long.
Yeah. I am. So check that out. Humanity was the third episode, and in the I Am episode, we also stressed the divinity of Christ, as we did in the first episode. So, in case we didn't mention that, we stressed that Christ is divine and his divinity in those episodes. And then, just as important as Christ's divinity is his humanity. And so we spoke about the incarnation of our Lord Jesus coming in flesh and the importance of Christ being human and God at the same time for suffering, for offering himself as an atonement and suffering in that regard. And so in that episode, it was about humanity. And speaking of Christ's divinity and his humanity, the centuries of church history have echoed sometimes either one or the other, and that's where you get your heresies from. There is a exaggeration of the humanity, and so you have heresies like Ebionism, adoptionism, that kind of thing, or they harp too much on the divinity and forget the humanity, and you have episodes in church history where you find your roots in liberalism, where it speaks of the resurrection as just literally symbolic. And so you miss the humanity aspect.
Yeah, and it's important. I think, you know, just like I talked about with the I Am and understanding that, how you can see in the Mormonism, you know, the heresy there. So it's also the same way with... I'm talking about Christ's humanity and understanding that he is fully God and fully man. And one of the verses that we hit on was in Philippians 2, verses 6 and 7. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born mm-hmm. as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience right. to God and died a criminal's death mm-hmm. on the cross. And the I think the truth here is that he willfully became God in flesh. That it wasn't something that he was always only God. I remember kind of teaching through this truth with some students one time. Talking about how Jesus, though he was fully God, he was also fully man. And one of the talking about how, you know, Jesus, you know, all the things we experience, he experienced. The struggles we struggle mm-hmm. With humanity, he experienced. And I remember this kid just being baffled about Jesus's humanity. And this is a kid who grew up in church. He now teaches Sunday school. And going through this teaching was just a way to help to help this kid understand Jesus's divinity and humanity. And again, that's why it's important to go through theology. I was, you know, this is someone who's grown up in the church. His family is very active in the church. Like I said, he's now teaching Sunday school. He might would still be teaching Sunday school if he had never learned that. And that when you don't focus on theology, this is when you get stuff creeping into the church of people. So just having these presuppositions, and I know where it came from. I remember kind of being that way as a child too. You know, you see Jesus as God as a young child, and if you're never taught the ins and outs of his humanity and divinity, it's easy to miss the part where he was fully man, and kind of creep into that heresy of, you know, he was just, you know, majestic God here on earth in all his glory. You know, although he was kind of man, he didn't experience it the same way we do. It's easy to kind of get into that thinking if you're if you never dive into the the depth of Christ's humanity.
Yeah, and that word in Philippians was kenosis, is emptying. And man, you can see how heresy can creep in there, because there are some that would purport that the Lord Jesus gave up all of his divinity, and that's just not
right.
That's not the case. And so you can kind of see just in misinterpreting scripture how it leads to those type things. And then we moved on to really, we walked through the book of Hebrews and then spoke of the supremacy of Christ. And one word that I, or phrase that I kind of think of when I think of Hebrews is not only supremacy of Christ, but a cloud of witnesses. And this cloud of witnesses historically from Abraham all the way up to the apostles and at the end of the canon of Scripture is all of these cloud of witnesses really come together and elevate the person of Christ, that he is supremely better than Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you know, and travel through the history. Even though these people were figures in Scripture that have good characteristics, they pale in comparison to our prime example, who is Christ. And I think in that episode we talked about how sometimes in church, in church life, if you will, how folks will say, well, why don't we do a character study of David or Moses? And if I recall, the statement that I made was, okay, here's a character sketch. They were a sinner, and so are we.
Yep.
And something to that effect.
And anything good just points back to Christ.
And, you know, and that, and, you know, not to get on preaching schedules of churches or anything like that, but I think sometimes we get caught up in looking at the characters of Scripture and wanting to elevate them and somehow forgetting, again, that there is a cloud of witnesses and they all point back to Christ. And sometimes we get sidetracked. I don't know why, but
I mean, it's good to study, you know, these people in the Bible. I mean, that's what they're there for. But again, they're there to point us to Christ. The grand narrative of the Scriptures is all of our attempts and man's attempts to serve God fall short, and we need Christ. Right.
So a good example of that is Daniel. All right, we can look back at David, and I mean we can catalog his sins. We can look back at Moses, and we can catalog his offense, his sin. We can look back to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Daniel. On the other hand, if you were to try to look through Daniel, I had a difficult time. Now, we do know that he's a sinner. We find him praying at least three times a day. We do know that. So I would imagine that some of that he was looking for redemption to come, the Lord's promises to come, the Lord's rescue, bringing them out of exile. But we know that he was a man that was upright. And so even as we've been studying on him, we had to make that point. There's good attributes and characteristics, but he's a sinner like we are. He was a sinner like we are. And so, supremacy of Christ. And then we moved on to prophet, priest, and king. That was of the offices of Christ as prophet, priest, and king. Now, in that episode, we talked about what a prophet is and what a modern-day prophet would be. A modern-day prophet is a preacher.
Pastor.
Priest. And it's interesting that Hebrews would point to Christ as a high priest, the high priest. And it's interesting when you think about it, because the priest would go into the Holy of Holies and be the mediator between God and man. But it's talking again of Christ's supremacy in these offices. A priest could only go but so far. Jesus, the high priest, goes into not only the Holy of Holies, the presence of the Lord. He becomes the priest and the sacrifice at the same time.
Yeah, and the perfect priest. Mm-hmm. I mean, all you have to do is read the Gospels, and you see that the priests are corruptible. They're sinners just like mm-hmm. Everyone else. And Christ, is the perfect priest, the perfect sacrifice, and that's why, as it says, it lays out in Hebrews that mm-hmm. he's the final sacrifice because of his perfection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And king, and we spoke of that in, particularly in the end of the age. The king of the Jews, we find that inscription in the gospel accounts, but more so, we find him in the book of the Revelation as King of Kings. What does a king do? Well, a king's a sovereign. He rules and reigns supreme. And so those three offices of prophet, priest, and king, I think were very very telling of, if we're going to teach Sunday school or preach, I think these three offices in the gospel accounts need to be brought out for any ministry.
Yeah, and Christ as King is really, it gives us great hope. Mm-hmm. The landscape we live in today, the political landscape, the social landscape, where it just seems like the world is crazy. And I know, I've always heard, the good old days. You always talk about people talking about the good old days and how there never really were any good old days. But I think I have heard more lately than ever that this world is crazy. Just people, mm-hmm. everything going on, this world is crazy. And mm-hmm. knowing that Christ is King and looking for his return and for him to reign as King gives us hope and gives us just a sense of it can kind of any worry that might come up from the craziness of this world when we remember that Christ is King, that he's still sovereign, and that one day it'll all be set right. It gives mm-hmm. us a hope in this yeah. craziness.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. The atonement was the following episode. The atonement was the following episode, and kind of zeroed in on a few theories over the ages, ransom theory, governmental theory, substitutionary atonement. And that's where we hover. That's where we're at. And liberation theology, we spoke of that, which I think is kind of the underlining culture today, even though they're not necessarily theological stances. This liberation way of thinking is behind, which we'll talk about it in a little while, this critical race theory and all that. There's kind of this undercurrent of liberation, and that there are certain oppressed people groups that need to be liberated or rescued. And so we'll talk about that in a little while. Ransom theory, that the devil has held us ransom and the Lord paid that ransom and rescued us from that, from the devil. the Lord don't owe the devil anything.
So. Right. Yeah. And we talked about how, we have songs where we use the word ransom, and it's just important to know the intent behind that word and the meaning.
Mm-hmm.
We were ransomed from our sin and from our lostness and self, not from the devil owning us, if you will. Mm-hmm. I think of the movie "Oh Brother, Where Art Thou," which is, I think it's based off of one of Homer's works. Is it? I think it's the Odyssey.
It's the Odyssey,
mm-hmm. And the part where the guy said he sold his soul to the devil to be able to play the guitar real good. And, this idea of the devil owning your soul, we see that in culture, in literature. And that's kind of where the ransom theory comes from. And the distinction between when we, sing a lyric, he ransomed our soul, or ransomed us. He ransomed us from our sin and from mm-hmm. our lostness, not from the devil.
Yeah, and it comes from this faulty idea that, I think this was in season one when we spoke about how, especially medieval culture has captured, from Milton's Paradise Lost, this idea that the devil has a pitchfork and horns and a tail, and he's, and we've kind of embellished on that a bit and exaggerated that idea. And the devil is not in hell. Okay. He's not waiting for souls to come down to him. And so some of that idea is a medieval faulty theology.
Yeah, like the devil being the ruler of hell.
Mm-hmm, king of hell.
Hell is for the devil. Mm-hmm. This his place of torment.
Yeah, so that is the episode on the atonement. And again, where we stand is the substitutionary atonement that Christ took our place. He became sin so that we might be the righteousness of God. He had no sin. And so that is our theological stance on that. Right before we went into the latter episodes, we took a break towards the end. If you've caught the last episodes in season two, we took a transition towards talking about world religions. And just to mention some of the guests that we've had with us this year, Lloyd Jones has been helping us out throughout season one and season two. Lloyd's about to get married soon, and he's a graduate from Liberty University, so his insight has been well received, and we enjoyed having him on. Casey Short has been with us. Casey is currently working as a chaplain through a local hospital, and so we're grateful for Casey's insight. And Thomas Barber, too. We had Thomas with us. Thomas show us that the Lord can call and use us right where we are. And what I mean by that is Thomas is a mechanic by trade, leader in his church, and God is using him in a very rural area, which is where we are, to think with big ideas and to share them with this church. And so we're grateful for people in the pew who are trying to lead and help people to think through their faith. So Thomas was with us episode one, season two, I believe. Him and Casey helped
mm-hmm. us kick off this season.
Yeah.
So we also had Dr. Stephen Manning mm-hmm. Join us in season one. I've known Dr. Manning most of my life. He's a deacon here at Piney Grove and serves the church and the Lord. And we were glad to have him mm-hmm. join us as well. And also Jason White, who is a friend of ours. He does a lot of the IT stuff, helps us with our website and our internet here at the church. And he's also a graduate of Southeastern. And it was good to have him. The week that we discussed the scriptures, he was here in season one. And it was good to have his insight as well. Like I said, as a graduate of Southeastern. And we grew up together in youth group together. And it's good. And same thing with Stephen. Grew up with him. And it's good to be able to come together with brothers in Christ that we've grown up together. We've seen each other slip some and seen the Lord bring us back and use us. And it's just good to be able to to do that with those guys.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. And that was actually episode number 5, season 1. And that's when we discovered the home roast.
Yes. Yeah, Jason brought his Whirly Pop, and we roasted some coffee right in the kitchen of the church, and it changed my life.
And we've been doing home roast ever since. And speaking of coffee, what are some of the coffees that we roasted? Now, obviously, we don't have to go through all of the ones we roasted, but what are some of the ones that stood out to you as, you know, just kind of over the top for you?
Over the top as in like bad or?
No, good.
Good.
Over in the top. A good way.
Good over the top would definitely be Onyx. That was the very first one we did was the Krampus roast. Mm-hmm. It was a really dark roast. And one of the things about Onyx is they don't roast the coffee until after you've ordered it. So it's as fresh as you're going to get an ordered coffee. The only way to get fresher is to do it yourself. Mm-hmm. So that one was really good. And probably right there with that would be the Elixir. And that we got in Nashville, I think it was a Conga bean. Mm-hmm. Both of those were top level.
Mm-hmm. Before we actually started the podcast, we enjoyed Resurrection Coffee. Now Resurrection isn't they aren't around anymore. Dave doesn't roast. Roast coffee anymore to distribute, but Resurrection Coffee to me was really good. But I wish we could have been able to review that. That was a really good, clean roast. Some of the ones that stood out to me, the Krampus, obviously, and Elixir, in season 2, and the Yemen. That was really good. The Yemen roast.
Yeah, the Yemen was that was a home roast bean, but we talked a little bit about the origins of coffee as a beverage in that one, because it's debatable Yemen or Ethiopia where it was first brewed and drank. But the Yemen, that was a good one. Yemen is considered one of the top beans that you can get, but they're sometimes hard to get. Yemen is in that area of the world that there's always a lot of unrest, and sometimes it's just not feasible to get beans out of the country.
Yeah, and sometimes they have irrigation problems too. Yeah. So one episode, maybe we can do this in episode 3. Season 3 is get some geisha from Panama, which is kind of difficult to find.
I had a Guatemalan geisha, and it was okay. Really big beans, really big. It was okay. It's obviously different because the Panama geisha is about $40 a pound raw, and the one from Guatemala, I think, was $8.
Yeah.
So it's obviously something different there.
Yeah. Yeah, some of the how about over the top in the bad way?
Well, I think saying over the top,
like it was just the you one, would not drink that in your kitchen.
Before I go there, because this one's not necessarily a bad bean. It was the one that Noah sent,
Booskerdoo.
Booskerdoo. And it was, I forget the name of the roast, but it was something like the Super Dark or Ultimate Dark. And its darkness was over the top. For a bean that was essentially burnt on purpose, it was pretty good. Mm-hmm. It was kind of extreme on the darkness for me, but the quality of it was pretty good. Yeah. Now, as far as over the top grossness, nothing is going to be as bad as that that mystery roast from Food Lion.
Yeah,
that one tasted like it had been under the counter at Waffle House, or and they forgot about it for 2 years. It was stale. It tasted like an ashtray. I think we took a sip of it and poured it out and just had water or something the rest of that episode.
Yeah. And Thomas Barber gave us to sample, to try, review some Black Rifle coffee. Both of those were dark roast. One was Blue Line. Was it called Thin Blue Line? And the other was a Blackbeard.
Blackbeard's Delight.
Delight. And both of those are good for dark. I'm particularly not a dark roast fan, but I will drink dark roast, and they were good for a dark roast.
Yeah, they were good. And one thing I'll say about Black Rifle has, they've become a pretty big company. They're opening two locations here in our area soon, one in Jacksonville and one in Greenville. And I think it's Jacksonville. Jacksonville or Wilmington. And definitely I know one's coming in Greenville in 2022. But because of their size, it's kind of become more of a commercial bean. So I noticed that with both of the ones we had. As far as a commercial bean, top notch. But it doesn't have the freshness of like an Onyx or an Elixir. But it's top notch. Now, I will say this about them. Two things. Number one, they support really good causes. Every bit of coffee they sell, they donate to first responders, military. They're military owned. But secondly, they have the only canned coffee drink that I like. You can find in gas stations now, they have the pre-made coffee in a can. Yeah. And normally, like the Starbucks is terrible. I could handle the Sheets one if I was driving somewhere and had to have some quick caffeine, but it just wasn't good. But the Black Rifle one is good. It's enjoyable. And I want to make sure to throw that out there for Black Rifle because top notch as far as the pre-made coffee.
Well, maybe they'll topple Starbucks. We don't wish ill will on anybody, but anyway, yeah. So there's just a few that a lot of the home roasts were really good that we did, except for episode, what was that, episode four, season two. That was kind of a mishaps, things to kind of be aware of when you are home roasting, heat, overheating, which will cause you to roast your bean too fast, and you'll lose a lot of the tone in the notes in your roast. And so that one was a real learning experience. Anyway, go back and check those different coffees that we have tried so far. And if you would like for us to review one, send it to us, and send us an email first. Let us know you're sending it, and then we'll give you the address to send it to. Today, we're going to try something new. We're going to try to roast some Ethiopian, which has got like 5 pounds, so I've got to roast it. And we're going to try a popcorn popper. And we're gonna see how it comes out. So stick around. We're going to roast some beans in an old-fashioned popcorn popper.
Yeah, upright popcorn
popper. Upright popcorn. Yep. All right. Stick around for that. All right. So I went to our local Walmart, and I wanted to find a popcorn popper. I went to the Goodwill, tried to find an upright, old-school kind of popcorn popper, and ended up going to Walmart. Goodwill didn't have one, and I didn't want to order it online because they were prices were kind of inflated online. So anyway, found this one at Walmart for like $20, and I really didn't know what to expect. And one thing about doing this at home is if you are looking for a gourmet tasting coffee, this probably will not be what you're looking for. But if you are just wanting to drink it at home and to roast your coffee quick, this is the way to go. And so it's going to take probably about 5 minutes to roast this. And what you want to do is you don't want to overfill your chamber. It's a chamber inside. And you want to make sure if you do buy one that you get one where the air flows through the sides of it, where you can see little vents to the side, that it flow out through the side and not blow air up underneath. So they need to come through the side of the chamber and not directly up underneath, because those little vents will help your beans to rotate just by the airflow alone. So you don't want to overfill it. So what I've started doing is, I've only started doing this about a couple of days. So anyway, what you want to do is about a half a cup. You could probably do less than that, but you want to give it to where you're going to utilize that whole 5 minutes. So this is a half a cup, and we're going to go ahead. It's been measured out, so we're going to go ahead and pour it down in our chamber here. Right. Want to make sure that that's distributed well in the bottom, and turn your heat on. And what you want to do is make sure that it's rotating the way it needs to rotate. And if it's not rotating, just kind of give it a shake. And what I'll normally do once I turn the heat on is I'll put that on the top, kind of make sure that the heat is not, you know, the wind's not blowing across or anything like that. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and start this and see what we get. It's going to take about 5 minutes.
So as you can see, it's probably best to roast with the popcorn popper outside on a porch, maybe, as the chaff comes out of the popcorn popper, which is good. One of the things about roasting in the Whirly Pop is it can be a bit of a task to separate the chaff. So you get most of it separated here with the popcorn popper. It just blows out.
All right, well, this is our end result. This came out a little bit darker than what we were anticipating. And this is what, and the particular bean you use also makes the difference. And here is, I'm going to hand this to Jason. This is the Ethiopian stock that I had, and that's 5 minutes in right there. And the weight of the bean certainly does, as we experimented today, have a bearing on how quick it takes. And so keep that in mind. And you want to plug your popcorn popper straight into the wall, no power strip. Make sure you have direct access to a power outlet. And again, like, do it outside. And again, we are drinking from this. It was just very, very fresh. It hasn't had time to set and degas yet, so appropriately. And so that is very fresh.
You roast that yesterday afternoon?
About 4 o'clock. And so
it's 11. It's
almost 12.
Almost 12 right now.
So yeah. A couple more days, that will be you know, better. It's good.
It's pretty good.
It's fresh.
It tastes like it needs a day or two. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty good.
Yeah. That's So again, home roasting, if you want a quick and simple solution, it's definitely cheaper to roast at home than it is to buy. The Onyx to me was really good, like we said earlier, but for, I think, 12 ounces, $20, something like that.
So the cheapest that they have is around $20. And doing an experimenting with home roasting, I've had some that I've roasted that were as good as the Onyx. Mm-hmm. Not every time. I've had some that were duds. But when it, the longer and more I've done it, the better
the
more consistent it's becoming. Mm-hmm. But the really good ones have been right up there with it, mm-hmm. with the good ones we've ordered.
Yeah. All right. So let's kind of recap, or let's finish up what we're kind of looking at for season three and the last couple of episodes that we had on world religions. Some of the highlights for me were digging into the Jehovah's Witness and kind of correlating the heresy there with, the historical landscape. You know, where did they come from? What do they hold as sacred text, which was the New World Translation and their Watchtower publications. We touched on Mormonism a bit and Islam. And remember one thing that we said through all world religions and cults was this works-based salvation. And that's something to keep in mind. And we talked about this kind of linear line you kind of make up in your head, and you look at the tenets of any world religion and you kind of lay it out on that line. Most every world religion will fit into that.
You know, something too, just kind of thinking through it. All of those, the three that we mentioned, particularly Mormonism and Jehovah's Witness, but there was a little element of this in Islam too, of its origins coming out of frustration with religion, frustration with, mm-hmm. Like I said, particularly those first two, with maybe seeing different arguments in the church. And can you just kind of think about the implications of, I think about Joseph Smith. I mean, his was directly because he was tired of seeing people not living what they mm-hmm. believed, and arguments in the church, and arguments over, I mean, just a bunch of stuff. Some of it was theological stuff, mm-hmm. but you think about the implications of not, as the scriptures say, bearing each other's burdens and not bearing with one another, and and loving each other. Mm-hmm. These false religions came out of it. So many people who have followed those who are lost, who have died in that lostness, and just think about the implications of not getting along. You know, like I said, sometimes you had to take a stand on theological issues, but the scriptures mm-hmm. are really clear about doing so in love, about bearing with one another. You know, there's always going to be people who get on your nerves. There's always going to be people who will even come mm-hmm. at you mm-hmm. with things. But as Christ followers, we're called to stand on truth, but also to love. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I was just thinking about that sitting here, that all three of those, in some way or another, the founders went on their journey as a reaction mm-hmm. to stuff going on in their religious life, if you will, mm-hmm. that was causing friction.
Mm. And Joseph Smith, I think, was from Church of Christ.
I believe so.
And Charles Taze Russell was from Seventh-day Adventist, I think. Yeah. So a different denomination coming out of that.
Seventh-day Adventist is debatable whether that's a denomination or a cult in
Certainly
itself.
Legalistic.
So, yeah. That's debate. I wrote a paper on them in college, and a lot of their background is way out there. We might can hit on that one day.
Yeah, they abide by food laws and Levitical food laws and stuff like that. A lot in the Seventh-day Adventists that are vegetarian.
Yeah, a lot of what they did, too, was they tried to predict the day of Jesus' return. And I think after 7 or 8 failed predictions, they just moved on to he's coming soon, which is more in line of, you know, where I guess Orthodoxy Christianity is. But in their beginnings, I think all the way up into maybe the 70s or 80s even. I may be wrong on that, but there was a ton of times where they're like, he's coming back on this day. We got to prep, got to get ready. And that day would come and go. And, well, we were mistaken. It's actually this date.
And, I think they finally come to, they basically teach that he did come back, but in spirit. Something to that effect. And I'm like, well, that happened on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit and
how about the Holy Spirit?
Yeah. So, yeah, the Holy Spirit. We'll move into episode 1, maybe episode 2. We'll begin that journey next season when we transition back into a more systematic theology, talk about the Holy Spirit. And so we're looking forward to that as we go into season 3. One of the last, particularly the last episode number 9, was on the occult and spiritualism. And I think the big question on the table was, why are people so enamored by the occult and the afterlife? And I think we spoke of how people are just kind of drawn to the unknown, and they want something a little bit extra, you know, beside the word. And I remember having a conversation with a person, and this person was going through depression, was going through just, you know, mental strain and anxiety. And this person has been saved for over 40 years. And I remember them asking me, why am I so depressed all of a sudden? You know, why am I, you know, going through all this mental stress and all that? And I asked them, I said, well, have you been praying like you ought to? Have you been in the Word? You know, have you, you know, those spiritual disciplines that we need to be engaged in, reading the Word and praying? And they said, no, I haven't. And I said, well, those are good. I mean, those are things that we need to have in our life, spiritual disciplines, biblical intake and praying. And then almost the next sentence said, well, if the Lord shows you anything, let me know. And I said, well, he has. I couldn't get past the idea that what we need in life is found in the Word, and they wanted an extra word from God. And so I think a lot of this spiritualism, world religions, the cult, and all that is wanting above and beyond what God has given to us. So.
Yep.
All right. Well, next time we're together, we'll be in episode number 1, season 3, and our special guest will be Dr. Danny Akin from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. And a couple of the topics that we'll look forward to discussing in season 3, of course, we'll start on the Holy Spirit and work through that, work on the topic of the Holy Spirit, and kind of give you a little bit of a teaser. The Holy Spirit is a he and not an it. And so we're looking forward to that study. But some of the things that we're going to kind of spread throughout season 3 are some relevant topics of the day. Critical race theory, racism, those type of things. And so we'll kind of pepper that through season 3. I think we need to touch on those.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier all the craziness going on in the world. And I think, you know, theology is great and important, but we need to apply the truths of the scripture to our context, our daily life context. So we will deal with that some.
Again, thank you for joining us today on our topic of discussion. We're just recapping through season two. I hope you'll join us again for another episode of Caffeinated Theology over a fine cup of coffee. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us, and we hope today's discussion has encouraged and challenged you. Please join us again next week as we discuss biblical truths over a fine cup of coffee.